Lee, if you're hearing our voice on this podcast, come on back. We need you. You add a lot to this show. And I won't raise my voice next time, Lee.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. The offseason marches on. Lots to talk about today. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. And the star of the show is the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton.
The monarch of mold.
Didn't you have some, the wizard of water or something?
The water damage whisperer himself, Ira Kaufman. I paused to see to test you guys a little
bit.
Right. So
I had Monsignor, but I thought monarch sounded better. Monarch of mold.
I came up with another one, too. I'll mention it later. Of course, that all refers to Florida's Elite Restoration. Our great friends, we'll talk about them later. Sage, if you need a new vehicle, Bill Curry Ford. That's where it's at. They're family-owned. It means so much. And it's like you have an extended family there because Sean Sullivan, our great friend, he's the general manager. He's also the Joe Bucks fan draft guru. He will help you personally. It's not a joke. Reach out to him through the website, BillCurryFord.com. They've got mobile service. They'll come out to your home and do service. They've got the biggest service department in the area by far. They've got 100 loaner vehicles. They'll loan you a vehicle so you're always feeling great about service. They have Sunday service. Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry. There are an endless number of offers.
More initiatives, Steve, post-holiday initiatives.
So many, Sage. New 2024 Mustang Mach-E. You've got a deal, Ira, $213 a month for 36 months.
That's crazy.
Or 0% APR financing for 72 months. Check out all the disclaimers, all these offers on the website. They go away February 3rd. So you got to hustle. And so much more. BillCurryFord.com. Mention Ira. You've got the Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect on top of anything. And Sean is there for you. I would be crazy if I were out there, wanted a new vehicle, and I didn't just reach out to Sean Sullivan to get the inside scoop on all kinds of things. It's a resource. Use it. And, of course, mention Ira. You'll get that discount.
He also knows people at One Buck Place. He's pretty wired, Sean. He can talk bucks all day long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Loves to talk bucks with fans, and he's the draft guru, and we got some great draft stuff coming up with Sean as well. Very excited about that. All right, Sage, look, our last podcast that anybody can find at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, on JoeBucksFan.com, we talked a lot about the defense and the aftermath of the Sunday game.
How could you not, Steve?
So we dove into the future of the defense and things we want to see, things we don't want to see, etc. But today we're going to focus more on the offense, Sage. And I'm going to throw this out here. I don't want to say to stir the pot, but it's a philosophical thing. Investing in the defense is obviously critical for this offseason. But I look at it this way, Ira. Todd Bowles, as we all agreed, enters next year on a hot seat.
Despite the 10 wins.
Next year, if the Bucks win 9 and are 1-and-done in the playoffs, I'd say 90% chance he's out. So, in my mind, I'm not really interested in going back to 2019 when the Bucks' first 5 draft picks were all defense. They knew they were picking these guys for Todd Bowles, for his defense, because he was going to be here at least a few years with Arians and they could develop him. Todd Bowles may not be here in 2026. So am I really going to invest in a draft with the guys Bowles helps me handpick? That many guys? I'd rather buy them in free agency. And this is just me. I'd rather fill some holes in free agency, maybe one in the draft in my top 3 picks. Give those picks to Cohen and the offensive side. When Cohen may very well be my next head coach, and there's nothing wrong with scoring even more points. And, you know, you got Ben Bredesen out there. He's probably going to command about $10 million as a starting guard on a good team. If I say, you know what, Jason Light, go fill that left guard spot some other way, and let's spend that $8, $10 million on the defensive side of the ball to buy Todd and help him buy an edge rusher or an inside linebacker. For me, Ira, I feel funny about investing heavy on the defense with draft picks. What do you guys think?
I couldn't disagree with you more, Isbitz. Now that makes my day.
Good.
That makes my day. Lee, am I wrong? I'm looking at this offense. Granted, Cohn did a very good job. No question. I don't see a lot of holes on this offense.
Maybe one.
If Bredesen leaves, I don't think it's a catastrophe. I think he's a pretty good player. He's not elite. He didn't get any All-Pro votes that I know about or Pro Bowl votes. Their running back situation is solid.
Very.
The tight ends came on strong. I think they need a receiver. Evans isn't getting any younger. We don't know what's going on with Godwin. Even if he re-signs, We don't know when he's going to be 100%, if he's going to be 100%. So that matters. And they got a quarterback. And so you what do? You want to dwell on the backup quarterback situation?
Kyle Trask!
Lee, they don't need a lot of help on that side of the ball. And I'll say this. If Cone leaves, I think whoever comes in, well, they might not average 29 points, but they should average 25, unless the guy's a complete bozo. There's a lot of talent on that side of the ball. I keep looking at the O-line, Lee. It's in very good shape. They're young. Gedeki is one of the most improved players in football the last couple of years. He went from a potential bust, who we were saying, Luke Gedeki, what are you doing, light? He's one of the top right tackles in football. He's top five. Some people think he had a better year than Wirfs. I'm not sure they're wrong. Now, Wirfs gets the, he plays left side.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go there.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gedeki was more consistent. I'll give you that.
Wirfs, he's coming into that left tackle spot. But I still think he was a better right tackle than left tackle.
Oh,
but that doesn't mean I want to move him back.
One of the best I've ever seen.
So Steve says he doesn't want to draft defense. Now, look, I'm not saying the first five draft picks should be a cornerback, an inside linebacker, and three edge rushers.
You should about inside linebacker.
I'm not saying that. But it's got to be a defensive-oriented draft. It's got to be. It's just the way the roster's structured.
If we take Steve's initial premise that Bowles is on the hot seat, then why waste a draft pick on offense if there's no holes? Now, again, I'm assuming Evans is going to be Evans and Godwin's coming back. There are no holes. There are no holes. So if Bowles really is on the hot seat, you got to go defense. I mean, they have so many holes there, it's ridiculous. If Lavonte David leaves, you have no inside linebackers. None. That's got to be filled. And I don't disagree with Steve about getting free agents. Jordan Whitehead, I still say if you shoot the Bucks up with truth serum, they're having buyer's remorse. Jamel Dean, once again, I'm at rope's end with the guy. I have a higher opinion than most people. My issue is he cannot stay on the field. So if he comes back, you better have a guy ready to go of equal or better value because you know, I know, the dog walking down the street knows Dean's going to be hurt. It's that simple. So I would absolutely load up on defense, and I got some ugly news about the defense.
All right, let's hear it, Lee.
If anybody's expecting this organization to go out and dump money on a free agent edge rusher, unless that order is a direct order coming from above, it ain't happening.
They traded for JPP a couple
of years ago. That's not signing. All right. Traded.
But they paid him $18 million, I think it was.
They traded for him.
Yeah.
Now, I was speaking with someone one time at $1, and well, couldn't you trade for a JPP like?
It's hard to find those guys. Well, that a team's willing to part with them.
That also adds to the free agent. What kind of any decent free agents, quote unquote decent? That's not going to happen because people don't let go of edge rushers. Now you could argue.
Now Danielle Hunter changed.
Bingo!
He took
words out of my mouth. The Houston guy from Minnesota, but that's rare.
I'm starting to think a corner might be the first round pick, Steve.
All right, I get it, but the offense, they need a receiver. Whatever's going on,
do they?
Mike Evans is Mike Evans to me, I put him in the classification of elite, super high end athlete, and those guys last longer. So turning 30 doesn't apply in the same way to those guys. But ultimately, Evans is going to be 32. Chris Godwin, nobody knows what his situation is going to be for sure, and I don't know any team in the NFL that. Even this past draft, where I think there were six or seven first-round receivers, and then the first two guys in the second round, you had the guy from Buffalo, from Florida State, forgot his name.
Keon Coleman?
Yeah. He played extremely well until he got hurt, and the guy drafted right after him, Ladd McConkey, had 1,100 yards. There's like eight teams that drafted a receiver last year who were like, hey, it all worked for him. The first eight receivers off the board, I don't think McMillan is a number one who's going to replace Mike Evans one day. And the Godwin thing is up in the air. Nobody goes wrong having too many receivers, especially when you got a couple of guys who showing that they're getting banged up, which is Evans and Godwin. I wouldn't cry if the Bucs went receiver first round and drafted the next beast.
You sound a little desperate, Steve. A little
desperate for what?
A little desperate.
It's not desperate. It's time is now.
It's still a passing league.
Lee, Mayfield, correct me if I'm wrong. Did he just throw for 4,500 yards with the current crop of receivers?
Yeah, again, I don't call it an immediate need. It sounds like Steve's calling it an immediate
need.
He's
worried about 3 years when Mike Evans retires.
And Bowles probably won't be here. And Gunn won't be here.
I'm not opposed to taking a receiver in the second or third round or something, but I don't see it as a top priority.
It's not a top priority, but based on who's in front of you in the draft, I'm just saying I could see it. We don't know anything about Godwin. It's,
in other words, don't
it's all,
reach.
It's all a mystery. It's all a mystery.
I think they got to get an edge rusher or two in free agency, Lee. I don't think it's going to happen
of course.
Where they draft in the first round. I don't.
Hey, you're asking me should they get an edge rusher? Really?
No, I'm not. I'm asking you how are they going to get an edge rusher? How are they going to get an edge rusher? I don't think it's going to be the 19th to 20th pick in the draft.
I'm telling you, Ira, I've been screaming this for freaking years. Not only would I draft, well, I don't know about draft anymore because we've been over that. I do not trust this staff to develop an edge rush. I just don't. They would have done it by now.
You could also say that Light doesn't know how to draft an edge rusher. You could.
Who's been at this longer, Light or Bowles?
Yeah, but Light also drafted before that. Noah Spence, he blew that. He had other
Noah Spence, I there's an asterisk by his name because he blew out his shoulder. Was never the
Are
same.
You saying Shoyink is going to go to another team and get 11 sacks? Are you telling me that?
I don't know about that, but I will say this. If the Bucks blew out Bowles, I'd bring him back on a cheap contract because I'd take my chances with him on a cheap contract. About edge rushers, what would I do? Well, what I do is not what this team's going to do and what this team has not do. I would draft minimum two guys, edge rushers, and I'd trade for an SOB. I wouldn't fart around.
You're also on record saying rookie edge rushers usually don't make an impact.
Correct.
And you said the time is now.
Correct. So, did I not say trade for one?
My premise, Ira, was if you don't think Bowles is on the firmest ground, you can't go out and draft Bowles-specific players in a ton of them. Because that's how you screw up your team down the road.
Well, maybe you have confidence that Bowles can turn this defense around if you get him some more
talent. What I'm saying is, if you believe that they're close in general as a collective team overall, Todd, go fill your holes with free agency. Here are some options. This is what we're willing to spend. You can plug and play. I wouldn't give him a bunch of young players to develop because he might not be here. That's all I'm saying.
How about just drafting a good football player who can play with anybody?
Do they have a lot of Monopoly money to spend in free agency?
They do. They have enough to make an impact. Like, they can go out no problem and sign a $10 million inside linebacker who's going to make a difference whether David comes back or not. They've got enough money to go get a second-tier edge rusher, a proven guy.
That's what you've been saying, a second-tier edge rusher in free agency.
Well, because I agree with Lee. I don't think they're going to go spend $24 million for an edge rusher if one becomes available.
No. You know, Miles Garrett ain't getting traded. It's
unlikely.
Well, it's Cleveland. You never know what they're going to do.
Lee, what about the theory that give Bowles more talent on the defensive side, and let's see if he can get back to where they were 4 years ago on that side of the ball.
Isn't that kind of what Steve was suggesting?
And if it doesn't happen, you move on.
Well, I think I'm not as skeptical of Bowles as maybe Steve is, but I will say if his pass defense is bottom five again, either he's got to unload his entire defensive staff or he's going to be gone.
But, Lee, you also say, and I believe correctly, you want to bulk up your pass defense? Put the quarterback on their ass.
Absolutely.
And more so than having a great cornerback.
Now, I'm going to mispronounce this word, and this isn't what I was looking for. Juxtaposition.
That's a good one.
This team pretty much refuses to go out and get a legitimate edge rusher, but they need an edge rush. So it's like, which is it?
Lee, I think you're off basically, and you've said it
Where's
a lot.
The proof?
You've said it a lot on this podium. You don't want to look at the edge rushers that this team has drafted with premium picks and say, that's a bad pick. I mean, it's right there in front of your face, Lee. You got to say what's in front of you. They haven't panned out.
Are you willing to bet I'll do it right now. $1,000 if they draft Steve Mark, as they say in the radio, mark this tape. $1,000, Ira, if they draft a guy in the first round, Bowles will not be coaching them for long. Do I want them to? Yes. Do I have any faith that they can do it? Hell no. There's no evidence of it.
But you're not looking at the talent of the people that have been drafted and how they're performing in the NFL ranks. And maybe I give Logan Hall a little pass, but he's not an edge rusher. He's just not. He's never going to be. And then I look at Shoyinka, and you don't want to acknowledge that these guys have not made an impact, and instead you want to blame it all on the coaching staff.
For good reason.
For what reason? If you see
the color blue, is that orange?
Lee, I'll say it again.
They drafted a first-round guy. They drafted a second-round guy. They drafted a third-round guy. And still they are sitting out there with a bare ass.
And so why is that all about coaching?
I'm a big believer in coaching. I'm a product of good coaching. I can see what good coaching can do. I can see what bad coaching can do. In the immortal words of Mike Tanner, Nothing drags talent down more than bad coaching. And that's both good and bad. I'm a huge believer in coaching.
This is also the guy that picked up Shaq Barrett when nobody ever heard of him, and the next thing you know, the guy had 19 and a half sacks. That's Todd Bowles. You can't forget about that either.
He didn't draft him, though, did he?
He didn't draft him, but he developed him.
I would say that he was developed by Wade Phillips.
Well, you're doing
what am I supposed to say?
You're doing cartwheels to not give Bowles any credit for
what
anything.
What am I supposed to say? The guy freaking developed Myles Garrett and Too Tall Jones?
Was Wade Phillips
give
on
me
the
some evidence.
Was Wade Phillips on the Buck staff in 2019?
He was on the Broncos staff when they drafted. Ira, give me some freaking evidence. I can't sit here and say Todd Bowles is a Hall of Fame edge rushing developing guy when he never developed one. Not one. He's been coaching how freaking long?
Shaq Barrett was not developed in Denver.
Who developed him?
Bucks.
Really? What year? When was he drafted? I want to know this. What year did the Bucks draft him, and what round?
What year did he make an impact in the National Football League?
When he played in the Super Bowl?
I said what year?
With the Broncos. Whatever the hell year that was. 2015?
No, he didn't
make it. Shaq Barrett was... Give me some evidence,
Nobody wanted Shaq Barrett when the Bucks got him. Nobody.
Nobody
fought over Shaq Barrett.
How'd that happen?
To play referee here, it's a little bit in between. So Shaq Barrett was an undrafted free agent. If you listen to interviews of Shaq, he says, I wasn't even prepared for the NFL when I got there. He was very much developed in Denver. However, he obviously developed and took another step here in Bulls defense.
Bulls did a nice job with the veteran.
He did a fantastic job with them. So,
I don't even think he was a starter in Denver.
No, he wasn't. He was in a log jam.
Some of the biggest evidence is that the Bucks only gave him a one-year, $4 million deal when he signed. So that speaks to what the rest of the league spoke of.
That speaks to that he wasn't developed at that point.
It speaks to Denver didn't think he was that valuable.
Well, he was also in a log jam. Von Miller, and who was the other guy? But in Bowles' own words, I remember this like it was yesterday. If we knew Shaq Barrett was going to be the player he turned into be, he might have not been on the roster because Denver wouldn't have let him go or someone else would have got him. Someone would have thrown a bunch of money at him. I remember him saying that.
So it's in between, Ira, at some point.
There's nothing in between about it. I'm right. He's wrong.
Bowles took him to the next level. He hasn't shown he can do it with a rookie, but they can find a Shaq Barrett type out there if they do it right.
Well, if he can't do it with a rookie, why can't we say the rookie's not that good?
We can. You can throw that on Light all day long. As Lee would say, there's no evidence that Light can draft an edge rusher.
That's true, but there's even more evidence Bowles can't. Light wasn't a general manager when he was in Arizona.
Bowles doesn't run the draft. Light does.
Good Lord, Ira.
Who runs the draft?
I guess you were saying Joe Biden won the election.
Are you saying he didn't?
Well, the way you twist shit, yeah.
Twist it? Who runs the...
Name a rookie defensive end that Bowles drafted that he developed. There was a guy in Miami a long time ago.
You said that Bowles drafted
I'm done. I'm done. This guy ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm done. Sorry.
All right. Well, the fireworks are flying on the podcast. That was unexpected. But, you know, it speaks to how passionate we are about our Bucks here. All three of us individually in different ways. And we'll talk about that on the other side. It's a good time, I think, to take a deep breath and remember that Florida's Elite Restoration is there for every homeowner and business owner in the Tampa Bay area, across Florida, across I-4 and beyond. If you have storm damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever it might be, you call them first when you have that disaster, when you find it. And they're there for you 24/7. They will come to your property with the greatest and latest technology, and they'll evaluate everything free. And then you can decide if you want to use them to move forward, to work with your insurance company, to battle your insurance company, to get the money you need to restore your property. They do fantastic work, Florida's Elite Restoration, on the restoration side, but they're a one-stop shop. If that restoration includes a repair or replacement, contracting work, floridaselite-restoration.com. It starts with visiting their website, putting them in your disaster plan so you're ready to roll. Floridaselite-restoration.com. Sage is the water damage whisperer himself, the minister of mold, and he knows Josh Martin personally, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. So do I. Great guy, great Bucks fan, great family-owned business. And they're there for you on call 24/7, and the response is real fast. They're going to come out. Don't call your insurance company first. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll be your offensive coordinator in your time of need. And thanks, of course, as always, to Bill Curry Ford. They present all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Don't wait. All right, Ira, we're back now, and Lee is gone.
We've lost one of our pillars, Steve.
Man down. Man down on the podcast.
We will carry on, and Lee will be back.
I'm glad there were no fisticuffs. You know, we get passionate here about football, and you know, we're not going to sit here and talk about it because Lee's not here to defend himself, but very passionate about the argument. And like I just said, Ira, I think on the development issue, it's in between. It's a lot of factors on development, from the GM to the coach to the player to the scheme. It's not always so clear.
Steve, I'm going to keep the focus on edge rush, and I'm going to say, and I don't think you're off base. You said it last week. You said the Bucs will go for tier two edge rushers. They're not going to spend $18 million.
Just one. They'll get one.
They'll spend seven or eight. And, Steve, sometimes you spend seven or eight, and you get the right guy that wasn't being developed in their previous system, and you like what you see on tape, and you think the guy's got potential, and then you know, you let Bowles get his hands in there. Bowles didn't forget how to coach defensive football, Steve. Now, I'm not here to defend the Buck defense the last couple of years. The pass defense, abysmal may not be a strong enough word, Steve. It's been terrible. You know, this Kirk Cousins thing, I still can't get over it. Twice shredding the Bucks, and, you know, Cousins did not have a good season. He didn't do it against anybody else, practically. And the first halves against Dallas and New Orleans, and the defense not showing up and not playing particularly well in the first half against Washington. Steve, but I'll say this. Get the man some pieces. Get the man some more pieces. This defense is not complete. This defense is not whole. And if Levante David retires, which is a possibility, whatever percentage you want to put on it, that's going to weaken this defense even a little more. Although, to be truthful, Levante wasn't as good as he was in 2023, when I thought he was exceptional. He wasn't bad this year.
No, not at all.
But that's another hole to fill. They've had a lot of injuries, Steve, but injuries are not the whole story with this defense. They got to fill some holes.
All right, so look, I started this podcast, Ira, not expecting some heated arguments. I was not expecting to even talk much defense. But it went in that direction, and we're going to pull it back to the offense. Now, my premise that I threw out there, put the money on defense, let Jason Light find his own replacement for Ben Bredesen. Maybe that's a second-round draft pick. Maybe that's a another brand.
I can see that, Steve.
Ben Bredesen. Maybe that's a cheap guy. Maybe this is the development of Elijah Klein, if they think he's coming up. Is that crazy to blow up the continuity of the offensive line, which they love the youth and the togetherness and all that stuff?
Maybe it depends on what Bredesen's looking for in the open market, Steve. I think he had a very solid season, Steve, and I don't think anybody in the Buck organization is saying anything different. Having said it, he's a guard. They did draft Klein, and I think they've seen enough of Klein to know whether he can be a player in this league, maybe. It is a guard, Steve. He's playing next to Tristan Wirfs, who covers up a lot of mistakes. For the right price, I'm bringing Bredesen back, but I'm not breaking the bank for Bredesen.
All right, now I don't want to be a hypocrite, right, because I just was saying I lean toward not giving Bowles, you know, everything he necessarily wants defensively, because he may be on a short leash. So obviously, Liam Cohen wants Bredesen back. Why would he want to bust up his offensive line? I get that. So on the offense, Ira, I know you say it's set there, but I really believe that you can never have too much firepower. Guys go down and entire offenses change their complexion. We saw it this year. Now, Kate Otten, good tight end. I think he's probably hit his ceiling.
But he's a top 12 tight end in this league. Which is saying something.
So he's probably set, and I like what I saw from the guys behind him. So really, that leaves receiver, unless would you do something crazy? Don't take this as my desire, but would you do something crazy like drafting a running back if he was there for you, if the guy from Boise State was sitting there, and you felt that, man, this guy is a game-changer type of player?
Well, you'd have to draft him in the first round,
yeah.
Jonte. Without Bucky Irving, I'd say right on. Now, you know how I feel about Bucky Irving. I think he was the key to this 29-point offense. I do. Certainly the key to the running back rushing turnaround in Tampa. Do they have three great backs? No, nobody's got three great backs, Steve. I'm not worried about the backfield. If there's a guy in the fourth round you want to take a flyer on, fine. I think you're much more on point with another receiver.
Sure.
Maybe a guy who can stretch the field, because I'm not sure that guy's on the roster right now. But it's going to be a defensive-heavy offseason, Steve, and you know that.
Last 2 years, first two out of three picks in each of the last two seasons, two of the first three picks were on defense. So you know that they try to balance those things out a little bit. It's something to think about as everybody dives in defense, defense, defense. And, of course, you still want the best players. You know, but it's early for the draft. Free agency, Ira, on defense, if you had to put a priority on it. If you had to speculate, Todd Bowles, who you know well, light, the organizational priority, not the Sage priority, not Lee's or mine, where do you think they want to go in free agency top two investments?
I think all the Glazers are thinking about are guys that can disrupt the other team's passing game. And that, to me, that puts a much more of a premium on a pass rush than it does a Sterling cornerback. Steve, I'll give you an example. In the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and granted the Chiefs had terrible offensive tackles going into that game, Carlton Davis looked like Deion Sanders because Mahomes had 1.5 seconds to get rid of the ball. It makes all the difference. Now, you've said it many times. At the end of the day, Bowles' defense ends up with 45 or 48 sacks. I mean, it happens every year, Steve. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, tied for six this year.
He cobbles it together. However, there's a big, big difference between the number of sacks you got and consistent pass rush pressure. And I don't think they had consistent pass rush pressure for most of 2024. And it shows up in the stats.
Sure.
You know, it's not the worst cornerbacks in football. McCollum's a solid player.
So number one priority?
It's got to be. Team.
Okay, number two priority.
And defensive back. Now, Steve, that's
a broad term. That's a broad term. They want to move Tyke Smith to safety and get a different nickel? Are they looking at...
Well, don't forget Izian. You know, he's not a bad player.
What do they want to do?
He's not a bad player, is
he? No, not at all. He's done the job.
He's done the job.
Knows the defense.
Steve, the guy we never talk about, and I've heard Lee say, you know, this guy's a non-factor. I don't think he's a non-factor. This guy, Dennis, Steve, I think he's got a great opportunity next season. I mean, it's right there in front of him. They don't trust K.J. Britt. Russell, I don't know what he can do. We don't even know if Lavani's coming back. Dennis could take over that whole job and prove that he's a solid Jason Light draft pick if he can stay healthy. And, Steve, I might be totally an outlier on this. I've seen enough of Dennis when he's healthy. This guy could be a player.
My problem with Dennis is that...
Can you count on him to be healthy?
Well, next year is an all-in season for the Bucs and Bowles, right? That's what it means when you're on the hot seat with 10 wins. You got to produce. And they can't bank on this guy. They just can't.
Well, I'm not saying they don't need another inside
back.
He's
perfect, I think. If you want to rely on him as your number three guy who might eventually press one of your starters, great. But they can't rely on him. But he is coming back. He's cheap. He's on a fifth-round pick
contract. Shouldn't he be a starter, Steve? Shouldn't he be a starter?
Well, he showed flashes that he could be. And I like the fact, not that I like his injury, but I like the fact that it wasn't his legs. And his game is about speed. Can he stay healthy? I don't know. But there are a lot of, and we'll get into names, but there's a lot of good free agent inside linebackers out there, in my opinion.
And they don't command a fortune, Steve.
Well, some of them do. You know, we saw the Commanders sign Frankie Louvu, $10 million. They make money, but you need a tackle machine in there. You do.
And this team doesn't tackle well. They don't tackle well.
Exactly. And Lavonte David, you know, we know the situation with him. As far as him coming back, Ira, we've made this clear. They want him. They're willing to pay him. It's just up to him.
Yes.
So I think he's coming
there's
back.
There's no equivocation on the part of the organization.
No, I think he's coming back. But we'll probably know before the combine for sure.
Steve, if he doesn't come back, who's the leader on that side of the ball? Is it Winfield? Who's the leader? Is it Vita Vea? Who's the leader on that side of the ball if there's no Lavonte David?
Well, Todd Bowles always talks about Vea's leadership. You know, I think Vea's got – he's a guy of multiple personalities as far as – what he puts out to media, et cetera. But I really think Kancey is that type.
Another guy that if he stays healthy, and I'm not comparing him to Dennis because Kancey's done it on the pro level and Dennis has not. But Kancey's another guy. Stay healthy. He might be a dominant player.
One thing Bowles said, he praised Lavonte David for this was his best year of leadership. And Bowles has watched him evolve there. So if you're a leader's guy, then that's fine. But on the offense, Ira, I'm not complaining about the offense, but you can't just ever just sit back and say, we're good. You also have to, I think, look at the offense as a scouting department, look at the Bucs offense, and try to decide how our defense is going to try to catch up to Liam Cohen. How are they going to catch up to this offense a little bit? How do we need to evolve a little more so Cohen can do a little bit more?
You know, Steve, on that note, we're going to know Cohen's future in a week. And, Steve, I think maybe behind the scenes in the discussions that take place postseason, maybe one of the discussions could be how much of the offensive improvement is due to Cone's schemes and creativity, and how much of it is we got a lot of good players on that side of the ball.
Yes, very important.
And that's a very important discussion. Because
see, that's sage wisdom. That's, you said what I was thinking, and but I couldn't say it like you.
And I want to say it in front of our departed
friend.
I miss Lee.
Me
too. And Steve, if you decide that Cone was an integral part of the offensive improvement, and he departs, then you might have to say to yourself, we got to focus on more firepower for the next guy that's coming in here, because he may not be as good as Cone. So that is a big discussion, Steve.
Yes, exactly. Cohen coming back or not coming back is step one in the whole offseason process for a team that needs to win right now.
Steve, if he comes back, I think there's a lot less onus on adding to this offense. Now, that doesn't mean, Steve, that you're wrong about the wide receiver and making a decision on Bredesen. How integral was Bredesen to the revival of the running game? I'm not sure.
He had a good year. He didn't miss any time. He's worthy of a new contract. I'm just trying to decide where to throw the money. If I had to pick, you know, there's a guy, I forgot the guy's name. He's on the Colts, tackle machine, interesting guy, free agent.
Zaire Franklin, that guy?
No.
Oh.
Would I rather have a tackle machine next to Levante David, a 28-year-old guy who's got some real juice to him and is lively and is going to fit, or would I rather have Bredesen? I'd rather take my chances with Light replacing alignment. And Light's been so good at receivers, Ira, I'm telling you, drafting receivers, that I just feel if he could find Mike Evans' replacement in this draft, what a special thing that could be. Because if Godwin comes back, it's probably on a one-year deal. I don't know if that's...
If Godwin comes back, would you still draft the receiver with a premium
pick? What I'm saying is, if Godwin comes back, it's probably on a one-year deal. Mike Evans, does he have more than 1 year left? You give this superstar rookie a chance to come in and learn from those two guys and learn the offense. They don't need a new number one receiver, but damn, if they had one, that might extend Mike Evans' life and... It just would be so cool, and that's part of my fandom coming out, but I think it could help them
in
a lot of ways.
Steve, here's the other side of that coin. If it's an all-in year, Steve, which it might be for a lot of people in the organization, then how would you feel about taking a receiver with the 20th pick and the guy not playing much his rookie season? See, that's another factor you got to think about, especially if Godwin comes back, and now McMillan...
Is your third guy.
Where's the room for this rookie except to learn behind a couple of stud professionals?
Well, that's if everybody plays and all that. We don't know what's happening with Godwin. Everybody listening, I'm not saying go draft a receiver. I just don't think it's off the board. If you see a guy you think, man, this guy's a can't-miss guy, receivers in the draft are killing it lately, we're going to take him and let Cohen worry about it and run more 3-4 wide. We'll figure it out. I don't know.
You think, Steve, if they get an edge rusher, somehow.
They will. I don't know if he'll be any good, but they'll get one.
And if they get somebody that Bowles is confident about and trusts, you think that would have a marked effect on how Bowles plays defense and the scheme and blitzing less maybe and playing more aggressive in the secondary? You think that could all change if they get a guy that's applying pressure off the edge?
Hopefully, if they can get a four-man pass rush. Then, of course, it's going to change everything. But I don't know. Bowles talks a lot about playing aggressive, but his guys don't play aggressive enough. And he admits it. So he's got to fix that from a coaching standpoint. He talked a little bit about in his season-ending press conference how you got, as a coach, you got to think about how players hear things, not just what you're saying. And he's got to figure that out on a communication end, because nobody watches the Bucks and says, man, that not for many, many weeks. Nobody watches that Bucs defense and says, man, they are this is a physical, tackling, nasty, aggressive defense, good or bad. Nobody says that.
And Steve, to your point, watching the playoffs with the better teams in the league, what strikes me, Steve, among other things, is passes are contested. Passes are defended. And it's been sorely missing around here, and that's driving Buck fans crazy, and I don't blame them.
So, Sage,
can you contest some passes?
Four playoffs games this weekend. What did you learn watching that you can relate to the Bucks? Aside from what you just mentioned, your thoughts about Washington putting 45 on Detroit, and that's a tremendous number. Did that? You put it out on this last podcast. Would that change Bucks fans' minds? I wrote about it. Got like 170 comments. People were furious.
Wow.
But those are the angry Bulls crowd. Many people believe common sense, you know. If Detroit, even with their injuries, but the Bucks had them too, injuries too, 45 easily. I mean, this wasn't a late garbage time stuff. They didn't score late, and they put 31 on them in the first half. You know, maybe Bulls isn't as far away as we think. What are your thoughts?
You said common sense. Steve, in a sense, common sense tells you Washington's for real. Let's look at the facts, not opinion. Steve, they're 14-5. They're 14-5. I believe they've won 7 in a row. Am I wrong on that?
You're correct.
All right, they've won 7 in a row. They went into our injury-riddled Detroit defense, which played very, very well against Minnesota in their last outing, and they were ravaged. I think he had 240 yards at halftime, Daniels. Common sense tells you, for Buck Nation, the lesson is, hey, Washington's for real. They're not a fluke. Who knows what they're going to do going into Lincoln Financial Field, Steve? No, nobody knows. It wouldn't be a total shocker if they beat Philly on the road after they took care of Detroit in such a convincing manner. But, Steve, you also touched on the other point. The anti-Bulls crowd, the Bulls skeptics, which number in the thousands, Steve? And we know it. For those people, it won't matter. It won't have a shred of difference in how they look at the 24 Bucks and how they look at Bulls. I've said it before, Steve. I'll say it again. The Bucks were not a complete team in 2024. They were a good team. They were not an elite team. And, you know, they kind of limped towards the finish. Poor performances against Dallas. Not very good against New Orleans overall. And they are what they are. They were incomplete. And people will say, well, they're incomplete because the defense stunk, and that's on Bulls. To an extent. To an extent. I want to see a healthy defense. Now, look, you're going to have injuries, Steve. But they had an inordinate amount of injuries.
Sure.
And I don't want to bring this up, Steve.
Yeah, you do.
Because it doesn't look good on my resume, Steve. But you've been doing this podcast with me for a long time. Steve, how many times did I say going into this season that the Bucks have been very fortunate on the injury front? And it's going to catch up.
Oh, yeah, many times.
I said it
yeah.
many times, Steve. Now,
It didn't catch him on the offensive line this year.
No, it didn't. And except for Godwin, which was a big one.
Yeah, huge.
Because he probably was the number one receiver in football.
He was.
Yeah, and that's severe. But the O-line stayed intact. Mayfield was healthy. The running backs, for the most part, were healthy. You know, Evans missed his 3 games, but it's going to happen when you're at that age. So, you know, it caught up with them on the defensive side. You know, let's see what Bulls can do with a fairly healthy defense that has 2 new starters, maybe 3 new starters. Let's see what Bulls can do.
Yeah, that's a good question, the amount of new starters. Yeah, that's a very interesting number when you look at it that way. It's got to be at least 2. I don't know how you change the complexion of your defense without at least 2. It's probably going to be 3, but maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
Where's Will Golston on this team at this point? Where is he?
Well, if they believe he played okay, they'll keep bringing him back because he's cheap and he's a veteran and all that.
The run well.
The run defense was good. I don't know if they bring back Greg Gaines because he'll command more money, but, you know, we'll see, Sage. The guy I was thinking of before, not Zaire Franklin, it's the guy who plays alongside him.
Well, Franklin is a tackle machine.
Oh, Franklin led the league. EJ Speed is his name. EJ Speed, even with Franklin next to him, he managed 142 combined.
Is he a free agent?
Yes, 142 combined tackles. He's not going to cost the huge money. Had a 100-tackle year the year before. Those are his only 2 years starting. He's 29 and interesting player. He does a podcast with Franklin, and they do a lot of off-color stuff. I don't know if the Bucks would like that, but that's a discussion for another day. Sage, when you look at the special teams on the Bucks, obviously a punter is a big piece of the puzzle here. Nobody's going to talk about it.
Find a punter.
Nobody wants to think about it, but damn, find a punter. I don't even know how great of an impact that could have made this year, but we might not be having this conversation if they had a freaking decent punter, as crazy as that sounds.
It shouldn't be that hard, Steve, whether it's a kid coming out of college or a free agent. You know, get it right. He don't have to be a top 5 punter. He doesn't. But somebody you can rely on as far as the return game. Coverage units were okay, Steve, okay. As far as the return, I think the return game stinks. I do. I just think it stinks.
Yeah, not a priority.
I've got nothing out of Palmer.
No.
I've seen nothing out of Palmer. He's also made some poor judgments inside the
Which
zone
don't
five
show
yard
up in
line.
The stats. They don't show up in the
they
stats.
They don't show up. Look, kickoff returns are devalued. But, you know, punt returns count. You know, if I can get a guy that averages 14 yards of punt return, it helps. It helps. And McLaughlin is gold. He's gold. Great pickup by the Bucks. Just like when you picked me up, Steve.
All right, Sage, look.
And I cost a lot less than McLaughlin. Let's throw that out there.
Todd Bowles, and I got to ask you this, because as it ties to Cohen, and then we'll get out of here, Ira. Todd Bowles, obviously he wants Liam Cohen back, but...
He hired him.
Why would he not? It'd be a nightmare scenario. But with Todd Bowles entering the season on the hot seat, which was not the case this year, and we're acknowledging that that's where he is next year. You know, fans are outraged.
Because they won a playoff game a year ago.
And they didn't win a playoff game this year. What's that dynamic when you know that the guy over my shoulder is 40 years old, he wants my job, he wants a job, he's really talented, and I'm on the hot seat? What is that like? Do you remember something like that in Bucks history? Because nobody knew Lovie Smith was on a hot seat that early.
I'm trying to get into Bowles' mindset. I want Cohn back. And yeah, you could say he's hanging over my shoulder, but there's no reason to think that Cohn's going to undermine him. Certainly not. Cohn's not that type. And I want to give myself the best chance to succeed next year. And having Cohn helps me in that regard. I don't want to have to do another search for an offensive coordinator. Now, he doesn't control Cohn's decision, but... Steve, you've been mentioning, Cohn's name is not coming up in that many areas.
Nope.
It's just not.
Nope.
Maybe things are happening behind the scenes, but I think ultimately Bowles looks at Cohn and says, I want you to stay, Liam. And I think that's going to be his message to ownership and Light, who also loves Cohn. And if it's a matter of money, I think you give it to Cohn and keep this offense humming.
Sage, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there. I still have one good question for you, Ira. BillCurryFord.com. Start your vehicle shopping there at all times. Sean Sullivan is waiting to help you. He's the GM. Ira Kaufman discount is in effect and available through Sean. And as we heard, Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Get there so you're prepared for when you have a disaster at your property. Call them 24/7. Don't hesitate. They're wonderful. They will take good care of you. And the water damage whisperer himself is a big fan of Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, we talked about in great detail the Baker Mayfield, Jalen McMillan botched exchange and that whole play call deep in Bucks territory. However, this past week, Tiki Barber on his radio show in New York, and he's a Bucks supporter, called it stupid. Went on a rant about it being a stupid play call. Pat Kerwin, big fan of Bulls, Bucks supporter, Bulls on his show every week. He blasted the play call, saying it's a higher risk call deep in your own territory. What are you doing? It doesn't mean it wouldn't have been successful, but you don't do that. Do those guys change your thought at all about
the
play call?
No, I think it's a classic second guess, Steve. I do, and I'll tell you why. It's not like they haven't run that play before under Cohn. I don't remember any botched handoffs. What I remember are effective jet sweeps. Was it a brilliant call? No. But I think it's a classic example of using the end result to justify blasting the play call. I'm not with that. I'm not blaming Cohn for Mayfield and McMillan screwing up. Whoever you want to blame, the blame goes to those two guys and not Liam Cohn.
And
for me, Cohn's off the hook.
Sage, somber without Lee here, somber.
Lee, if you're hearing our voice on this podcast, come on back. We need you. You're welcome. You add a lot to this show. And I won't raise my voice next time, Lee.